It is Thursday, October 15th, 2015, and you are listening to The Kickabout. The Kickabout is the Nationals podcast focusing on football in the UAE, and it is part of the Extra Time series. I am your host, Paul Freeland, and joining me today is returning champion Paul Oberjerke, sports editor of The National. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Ready to talk some football.
All right. Well, we'll start with the national team and all that transpired there on, as folks will remember, on October 8th, the UAE went to Jeddah and lost 2-1, more late drama in Saudi. Meanwhile, East Timor and Palestine drew 1-1. Then on October 13th, Malaysia won 1-0 at East Timor. And the match that was supposed to take place between Palestine and Saudi Arabia was postponed because they still can't come to an agreement as to where to hold the thing. What does it all mean? Simply this. The UAE might be in trouble. Saudis topped the group, 4 wins from 4, 12 points. The UAE second with 7, and Palestine, thanks to that draw in East Timor, they're third on 5 points, lurking, but not quite as dangerous as they could be. And meanwhile, Malaysia have jumped off the foot of the table with 4 points, and East Timor with 2. It's not a worst-case scenario for the UAE, thanks largely to results elsewhere, but it's pretty close. As it stands right now, the UAE are really off the pace in terms of second-place teams in their groups. They're 7th out of 8, and they're only ahead of Hong Kong on goal difference. And it's worth, that's worth bearing in mind, because only the top 4 teams, only the top 4 second-place finishers joined the group winners in moving on to the next round of World Cup qualifying, and that is the overarching goal for Mahdi Ali and the UAE. So next month, November 12th, the UAE host East Timor, and the 17th they're at Malaysia. Well, there will be no fans there, thanks to the crowd trouble Malaysia had against Saudi Arabia. Maybe a Gulf Cup of Nations in December? We still don't know. Still conflicting signals coming out of Kuwait. And then it all comes down to March 2016. The March 24th, UAE host Palestine, and 29th, the last match of the group, UAE v Saudi Arabia, right here in the capital. The World Cup dream is still alive for the UAE. The question is just how realistic. Paul, how do you see the rest of qualifying playing out, and will the UAE's chances be helped or hurt if the Gulf Cup of Nations actually does take place in December?
Well, those are kind of combined questions. I'll start with the first one. It's not good. It is not a good situation. Really, the thing that upsets the apple cart for the Emiratis was the draw with Palestine. When they went into the West Bank, which Saudi does not want to do, and may be able to pull it off. I think the easiest way to think of it is to look at and I think you have to think of second place and being one of the 4 best second place teams, which gets you into the final 12 of Asia qualifying, is look at the other groups. Somewhere along the line there, you need whoever is second now to drop points against whoever is third, fourth, or fifth. And there are some very weak teams in this round, or you need them to do no better than they did the first time around, while the Emiratis basically sweep, win every game out, including the final against Saudi, which that would be at least 9 more points, which would get them to 13 once we take out whoever the fifth place team is. And that might get it done. That should get it done. But that's asking a lot. 4 consecutive victories, 2 of them against Saudi and 1 against Palestine. A December Gulf Cup of Nations would not help the UAE at all. Palestine wouldn't be impacted by that. Saudi might. It just would really crowd the schedule. And if you saw the match, the UAE in Jeddah against Saudi, that was a UAE side that looked as unimpressive as any I can remember since Mahdi Ali took over. And I'm starting to wonder, are they getting jaded? Are they getting tired? Are the key guys in this group just sort of used up emotionally and physically? Another Gulf Cup would be something they don't need.
It might be bold. It might be talking out of school. I don't know. But could you see, and would it be considered acceptable, if risky, for either Saudi, the UAE, or both, just to, if not not necessarily, you know, sack off the Gulf Cup of Nations, but send a B team or an experimental team, or just, because as you mentioned, this core group Mahdi Ali has, he is riding them all the way. However far they take them, that that group goes, that's how far the UAE goes. Would it be conceivable to either use the Gulf Cup to blood new players, or basically to do anything other, anything short of treating it like the most important thing right now?
That's a good point, Paul. Actually, that has happened. There's precedent for that. The Gulf Cup that was held, I'm going to say in Oman, around 2010, the UAE definitely sent a B team. It might have been 2011, but it was not guys who were starting. They were not in the first team with the senior team at that point. It was not considered some sort of put down, and I could see that happening again. And now that you mention it, I do recall that this has already happened. I think there's a very good chance that would happen, and that, if nothing else, should be added impetus to delay the Gulf Cup and wait till we get a point where most of the teams in the region can send their best team, because there's going to be definitely the idea going through a couple different teams, not just the UAE FA. You know, let's send the young guys and see how they do.
And even that might not necessarily get the national team players the break they want, because of course, if they're not called up to the national team, then they're going to be with their club teams, and that's going to be League Cup games still going at that point. So they wouldn't necessarily be recuperating. And again, because if, as it is right now, the AGL is scheduled for a break in December to allow for the Gulf Cup, which means there's going to be that many more league matches come late January and February and March. And you know those players are going to be playing then. And then on the heels of that, you have the two biggest matches for the UAE in this round of qualifying. So it's all incredibly hairy at the moment, and it certainly doesn't seem like there's any real good way out other than wrapping all the national team players in cotton wool and telling their clubs hands off, which then maybe that's crossed Mahdi Ali's mind probably at some point, but whether he can pull it off, that might even be beyond his reach. But meanwhile, while the national team disbands for a little while, the Arabian Gulf League returns with matches today, and well, as we speak, Al Ahly are playing Sharjah in Sharjah. And well, obviously you folks will know the result of that before we will. But tomorrow, Emirates host Banyas, and then Al Jazeera versus Al Shabaab. And then Saturday we've got Fujairah versus Dafra, Al Ain v Dibba, Al Shabi Wasl, and then Al Nasser, the league leaders, versus Al Huwada. Paul, I guess if any real quick thoughts on the AGL slate, the two capital teams, Jazeera Shabaab, and then Wada heading to Nasser. Those seem to be the ties of the round.
I agree. Jazeera needs to beat somebody. They've got all those problems in the back, the same as they had last year, the same as they had the year before. But the problem this time around is that they don't seem quite as potent on the attack. They need a result against Shabaab. They need a victory against Shabaab. And then Nasser and Wada, that is also a very interesting game. Wada's got some interesting guys, Valdivia, Tagliabue, Mohamed Shehi is back, Ismail Matar, of course. They could pose a real problem for Nasser, who, as we have pointed out in the newspaper, have not exactly played murderer's row so far in terms of the best teams in the league. So those are both interesting games. They both could go either way.
Mm. And you would think if there's anyone in the AGL who would be able to keep Nasser's creative presence, Luis Jimenez, in check, you would think it would be, you know, someone like Danielson, and playing for Javier Aguirre team, and whose teams are known for being spiky and disagreeable and all around hard to beat. But meanwhile, we got maybe the biggest game of all of them coming up on Tuesday, when Al Ahly host Al Hilal in the second leg of their Champions League semifinal. It's 1-1 after the first leg in Riyadh. And this, you know, Al Ahly, they're poised to make history, really. And they could hardly ask to be in a better position to do it. They're largely healthy. Lima and Ahmed Khalil are in fine form. And unlike Hilal, who have been idle since the first leg on September 29th, Ali have been active in the Arabian Gulf Cup. Looking at where they are, Paul, how Ali have been playing, a win would do it. Even the right kind of draw would do it. A scoreless one, obviously. Can Ali pull off the result they need, and what needs to go right for them to advance?
I think they absolutely can do it. They've been very – I can't remember the last time that club played badly. Certainly not since this season began and Lima came over from Benfica. He has been a revelation, some really fine goals, makes them very dangerous up front. And they also still have Ahmed Khalil, who is in better form right now than he has been for a while. I could see them just, you know, winning that flat out 2-0 and moving on, which would, as you said, be huge, because there's sort of a sense in the country that the latter rounds of the Asian Champions League is for Al Ain. It's not for much of anyone else. And for Al Ahly to get there, that would really be a feather in their caps.
And that would be huge, if for no other reason than to secure more automatic Champions League places, because right now the UAE only has two. And they could, you know, if their coefficient keeps getting bumped up, they could conceivably catch Uzbekistan and then take that third automatic place. And then, because they've got Qatar right behind them too. And then just for the completists out there, on Wednesday we have the second leg of the East Asian semifinal when Guangzhou Evergrande take their 2-1 lead to Japan to face Gamba Osaka. And that one should also make for some good watching. But for now, you have been listening to The Kickabout. This podcast was edited by Marwan Al-Hamadi and produced by the National's Multimedia Desk. Follow the Multimedia Desk on Twitter at NSVUAE and the Sports Desk at NATSportUAE. I'm Paul Freeland. Thanks for listening.